Okay, hello and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. We're going to get right into it today. My name is Matthew and I am the owner and operator, along with my wife Victoria, of The Wash and Word. That is our car washing business. We wash your car by hand. We're located in the Palace Shopping Center in Church Hill. And there we broadcast these messages on a loop during open business hours. If you pull into the parking lot or you're waiting to get your car washed, you can turn to 107.1 FM and we play this and other messages throughout the week on a loop during our open business hours. Now, yesterday we spent a little bit of time talking about that there are no detours when we follow the Lord in obedience, that there are no accidents, that God is leading us in the ways that we should go if we trust in Him, if we are obedient to Him, and we are being led by the Spirit. Oftentimes we might go in a direction we feel is right and God will lead us back. Sometimes we go in several different directions until we're finally on the right path. And then sometimes, to make it even more confusing, God will lead us into directions that were not meant to be at first, only to steer us away. We don't understand God. We never will with our finite minds. But He's working all things out for the good. And sometimes that means delaying us so that He could work something else out in somebody else's life to make a meeting happen. And sometimes our delays are simply God saying, just hold on a few minutes, a few days, a few weeks. You know, your house hasn't sold yet because I'm waiting for the person that needs that house to for this to happen. I mean, I can go on with scenarios till we're blue in the face, but we left off talking about patience. And patience is extremely difficult, especially if we're trying to be led by the Lord. We're trying to be led by the Spirit, and we are experiencing pain, whether it be our own stupidity, we're going in directions we're not supposed to go, and then sometimes God leads us into places that we also experience pain. But we are talking about Jesus's patience here. You know, the reason I can tell you and I can tell myself to be patient in our trials, to be patient in our, well, in our waiting, is because Jesus, of course, exhibited perfect patience. You know, so far in just these four chapters, well, three and a half that we've gotten through, Jesus has shown a lot of patience. He showed patience with His mom during the first miracle at the wedding. He showed patience with the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders when He was talking about when He came in to clear the temple. He showed patience with Nicodemus as He tried to explain to him what spiritual born again meant, and Nicodemus just couldn't get his mind off the temporal. You know, we have to remember that we have to be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees, as Jesus said. A little bit of bad thinking can just spread throughout your whole life. And a little bit of impatience can really affect the things that you're doing. And the problem with trying to be patient is we tend to focus inward so much. We focus on the temporal. We focus on the worldly. And you're not going to be patient if you're focusing on what's happening to you, if you're focusing on your circumstances, if you're looking at the things around you. The only way we're going to truly be patient is to put our mind on spiritual things. Like Nicodemus, he couldn't quite grasp that. I apologize for the vehicles in the background. I do all my sermon recordings right here at the Wash and Word, and sometimes we'll hear cars in the background, but doesn't stop the word from going forth. So Jesus, when He was saying in Matthew 16 about being weary of the yeast of Pharisees, that kind of thinking, that temporal thinking, is what causes us to have a lack of patience. Even this woman, you know, her immediate thought when Jesus is talking about living water, she says, well, you have nothing to draw with, and it's deep. Also, look at verse 15. It says, the woman said to Him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. So, you know, she's thinking about real water. She's thinking, well, if I have this special water, I'll never have to come and get water again. She's got her mind on the temporal. And if you notice how her ears perked up when she realized she could get something from Jesus. Oh, where, sir, give me some of this water. Where can I get that? I don't want to have to keep coming back here. And boy, isn't that a lot like us? Our ears perk up when we can get something from Jesus. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I do these teachings, why I stick to verse-by-verse Bible sermons, because the predominant teaching of the church today talks so much, and I'm so sick of hearing about how much Jesus can do for you and how prosperous you can be, and if you give, how much God will bless you. And while all of these things are true in some respects, there are so many things attached to it that they're not preaching about, and it's creating a church that has no power in the voice any longer. You know, the voice of the church doesn't have an influence in society like it used to. And the people who are being taught and fed this garbage week in and week out are in no position to fight the spiritual battles that they are inevitably going to go through, and that we all may go through as the time of the Lord nears. Receiving from God is really the promise of serving Him. And today we're going to look at the, you know, as we talk about this chapter being pit stops and going in and out to refuel at the fueling station of the cross, Jesus recognizes here that there's a roadblock with her somewhere. He sees that that she's not just limping around on flat tires. She's a roadblock here. Something is hindering her from receiving the truth, from receiving understanding. And Jesus says, it's up to me to get her this water that she wants on a spiritual, a physical, and an intellectual way. She's focusing just on senses. Where can I get this? Where can I taste it? You know, and Jesus saying, I gotta change this. I gotta get her thinking back to where it is. And though Jesus doesn't walk the earth and have physical conversations with people like this, Jesus does live inside of each of us as believers. So this is where you and I come in. We are the ones who come in and bring the spiritual to those who are focused on the temporal. How did Jesus know what she needed? And of course, we can give out the answer, well, he was the Son of God. Of course he knew what she needed. But listen, everything Jesus did as a man on earth, all the power, everything that he did was done in his humanity. He had special abilities. He was the Son of God in human flesh. He did miracles. But he also said we would have even greater power than those. We would have power to move mountains. He did healings, but he also said we would have greater power. He resisted temptation. He obeyed his Father. And even here, he was able to discern this woman. He had all these gifts, and they were all available to him. And we think, well, of course, he was the Son of God. But listen, the stuff Jesus did and the things that he was able to do, he said on many occasions that we'll be able to do those things and more. When the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers, we became the recipients of the fruits of the Spirit. We became the recipients of the gifts of the spirits of the Spirit. You know, we look at Jesus saying, well, you know, again, he's the Son of God. Of course, he could discern what this woman was really thinking. And, you know, I'll never be able to do that sort of stuff. That's hogwash. You could do all that. And you can do more than that. That's Jesus' words himself. You know, the AAA roadside assistance, you know, we get that in case our car breaks down. We call AAA. But did you know along with that, you can save on attractions. You can save on hotels. You can save on things that you buy, places that you eat. There's a whole lot more that goes with AAA than just getting roadside service. And there's a whole lot more that comes with Christ in your heart than just getting eternal salvation. And this isn't about what you're capable of doing or how much talent that you have. I don't have a whole lot of respect for talent, because talent is a genetic thing. It's what you do with that talent that really counts. And the Spirit is able to give you things you didn't normally have. Here's an example, and I bet you've experienced this. Have you ever met someone and you start talking to them and you just saw right through them? like you just knew that maybe there was a pain inside of them, or you knew that they were, you know, they kind of had double talk when they spoke, that there was maybe not a truth about them, that there was something in there that you can recognize, whether it be good or bad. Maybe it was a hurt. Maybe it was, you know, you recognize that they had a problem. You don't know what it is right now. Of course, that's what talking with people do. You don't, you know, but there's something there. You just right away, you know, that there's something off with their character. There's some kind of struggle they're going through. There's some kind of sin maybe that they're hiding, or and Jesus could discern this just by looking at people. He didn't use supernatural ability, but like Satan, Jesus, you know, was there since the beginning. And you know, Satan doesn't read our minds, but he reads people. He reads actions. He reads tendencies. He reads body language. He could read a lot of things about a person because he's been studying people since the beginning of people. And thus, so Jesus, even before that, has the same type of ability here as he walks the earth. Now, he could do all these things, but so can we. You, dear Christian, have the same discerning power that Jesus had by way of the Holy Spirit. So let's, as we wind this section of Scripture down, let's pull into our pit stop again. And as we've been taking this whole chapter as a road trip and using these first 26 verses as sort of a road trip, and we would sometimes pull off and we would refuel and then be sent back on the correct direction. So in our road trip, this is where we're at now. Sometimes the road to the fill-up station is blocked. Yeah, that's a different twist on our pit stops that we've been talking about this week. Because sometimes the pit stop's blocked or it's closed. And in a spiritually speaking, sometimes we can't get to the cross to receive our refueling because of sins, because of cloudy thinking, because maybe you have messed up beliefs. But at the cross, if we could just get ourselves there, the living water that flows from the rock of salvation can tear down any roadblock. So we may be stumbling around, or we may know people we're speaking to and they're struggling and stumbling around. We only have one job, whether it be for yourself personally or for somebody that you know. And that one job is to lead people to Christ. Not even in a salvation way, but it just getting them to put their focus on Jesus, to stop the world around them from spinning for a moment, to take our eyes off of the temporal, to weed out the weeds and the yeast, to sit quietly for a moment, because the second we grab a hold of the cross, the more energy we're going to get from that, and the more of the cross will come into our lives, and the more the junk will start to spill away. You know, water is the most powerful and destructive force on the planet, causing more damage yearly in the world than hurricanes and tornadoes and any other weather disruption you could think of put together. Water, when rushing with, you know, stones and stuff, debris mixed in with it, could tear anything down. And that's why the living water that flows out of Christ can tear down any roadblock that's in your way. And as that spirit of the living water comes rushing into your life, it tears apart those roadblocks that are hindering you from finding the right way or thinking improperly. And then God, as he always does when we pull into the pit stop of the cross, we're going to receive our new direction. And God will go right from the cross to our heart. Listen, time spent at the cross is going to reveal the direction to the shortest route to the heart. Whether it be for yourself or somebody else, we spend time with Jesus and God will give us the direction closest and quickest to the heart, whether it be yours or the person you're speaking to. So to break it all down, you can't lose when you spend time with Jesus. Amen. Well, listen, come back again tomorrow. We'll pick it up in verse 16. Didn't get far today, but it's not about that. It's about glorifying God through verse-by-verse Bible teaching. which is what we'll do tomorrow at 8:30 right here on this station. God bless you. Have a good day.